Okay, let's get ready for a morning together, worshiping God. Let's begin with a word of prayer. The purpose of the prayer is very important. Test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. If not, trust in Him, that all that you do will be glorifying to Him and will bring reward to the judgment seat of Christ, which we're studying. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Now, Father, we're put here on this earth as born-again believers to represent You and Your Son, to glorify Him in the decisions that we make, things that we say and do. And Father, we just pray now that this morning will be a wonderful morning of worship and glorification of our Savior. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. All right, if you're turning your hymnals to 391, and is your husband here? Good. All right, here we go. It's good. Come on up, Brian.
The music director is late.
You don't need to dramatize that. Wow. Man, you're like my wife. Y'all like to point out all my failures. All right. Shortcomings. Brian, we're going to stand and sing. Stand up for Jesus. Here it is, 391. So let's all stand up and pay attention to the words. This is what is needed in the body of Christ today. Thank you. Okay, first and foremost on our prayer list, Anail. Tell us what's going on, please.
Last Sunday was good, but it went downhill Monday, and for the rest of the week, she had great pain last night.
Please tell Anail we're in fervent prayer.
Yeah, it's just hard to get rid of.
We'll be in, continue to be in prayer for Anail. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that some of you can understand more than others. But Tish was driving out this morning to come to church and ran over and killed her pet dog. And so be in prayer for Tish and she handles all of that. And Jerry, when Jerry and Leslie are out of town right now, but they'll get back and take care of it. Any other prayer requests that I'm not aware of that we need to be? Yes.
I have a really good friend who's been given just so long to live. She is a believer, but she's about to start Tuesday very serious chemo. They've really ramped it up, so she's going to be in a lot of discomfort, and they'll be doing it every 3 weeks
okay.
as long as she lives.
All right. We'll be in prayer. What's her first name? Jan. Be in prayer for Jan. She goes through this part of her battle. Any other prayer requests? I don't know. Gigi?
My apartment manager, her mom, is not doing well. She's moving on in age.
We'll just pray that whatever God is doing in her life, his will be brought to fruition. Good. Yes.
So next week is
Tell us.
Chili cook-off.
Woo! Bring money. Bring appetite.
Please come and join us. Whether you bring money or not, you're welcome to.
No, don't say that. Bring your appetite and bring money.
We're going to get it from you one way. But seriously, please come and join us next week. We'd love to have everybody be a part of the chili cook-off. Do you have to add?
A little bit.
Okay, go.
Okay, because Jim and Phil have decided to become a team. And Jim is holding the award for first place. So I just wanted you all to know that we're going to have some excellent chili. And then Larry and Brian had told me that they had prepped the kids, and they were really in the running. So I'm hoping that we get some good competition
okay.
here.
So right now Jim Langston is the winner of last year?
Yes.
All right, Jim. Hold that trophy. All right.
Well, he's thinking about it. He hasn't committed yet.
Oh.
Who, me?
It'll all be great. It'll be a great fellowship. One thing I did want to point out, part of our budget, which we presented earlier this month, was a contribution to Grace Bible Church Pakistan, which has been supporting our ministry here and coming to camps. So some of the proceeds that we receive from this chili cook-off will go to Grace Bible Church Pakistan from the Liberty Youth Ministry as part of our servant leadership and missions work that we as part of our mission. So
good.
Just wanted to make sure that was clear. It's all part of the youth ministry budget, but it will go to them so that you all know that where your money is going there. Not all of it, but some of it.
Now, let's make this clear. James Webb is not allowed to buy 10 cans of Wolf Brand chili and put it in a bowl and bring that.
He absolutely can.
You can.
He just probably won't walk away with the
prize. Or if you do, you'll get mugged as you walk out. All right, any other? Yes.
I just want to ask for prayers for Colby. He's a young man at our youth group and just struggles with a lot of health problems, and his dad actually works with Brian Wise. But he went to the hospital this week. He's had a heart monitor on, just lots of things they can't figure out.
How old is he?
He's 13.
13, wow.
And he comes to youth group every week. And anyway, he went into the hospital, and we just got a note saying that they've diagnosed him with conversion disorder, which means I think that they can't really figure out what's going on, but he's now having trouble speaking and has a walker. So just went home from the hospital, and we're going to go try to see him at home today.
But I want to ask for y'all's prayers. There's a lot of stuff going on with him.
Kobe, please be in prayer for Kobe. Be in prayer for Kobe's family. Be in prayer for Kobe's doctors. My goodness. And is...
He goes to school with Nick.
Oh, okay. Right. I mean, you pointed to Nick, but I didn't know what it was. Now, a name that some of you might recognize, good friend of mine, happy to say, his name is Tommy Ice. He is head of the Pre-Trib Study Group, which sponsors a Pre-Trib Conference every December. Tommy Ice has written some books, excellent book on prophecy, easy to understand book. Well, what happened was this last Thursday, he had to go to the hospital with a heart problem, and I just got this morning. I emailed Robbie Deem, and he got this and said, this afternoon, I, Robbie, this was yesterday, had a 45-minute face-to-face conversation, a FaceTime conversation with Tommy. He looks great, is in good spirits, and typical Tommy form. He said that he had a moderate heart attack. Now, he calls it moderate. Then they're going to tell me what kind of surgery he's going to have tomorrow, and that's not a moderate surgery. But nevertheless, he had a moderate, in his view, a moderate heart attack overnight on Thursday night. Suffered some mild muscle damage, with which the doctors said would be reversible. At this point, they hope to operate on Monday, tomorrow, and perform a quintuple heart surgery. And I looked that up, and the first thing that it said was, this is complicated and dangerous. And he saw this and calls it mild. Well, I guess that's Tommy's form. And but please be in prayer for Tommy Ice and his wife Janice and children. Now continuing the letter, just so you'll know, he is very grateful for all the prayers and asks for continued prayers from all. Prayer for the success of the operation, his healing, which will be 12 weeks of no work, no travel, and physical therapy. And, you know, when I had my quadruple heart bypass, they handed me a little booklet, and it said, the first week, you will be able to knit. I still can't knit. So they lied about what I could do. All right, now, 12 weeks of no work, no travel, physical therapy, and for the completion of the move to Kansas City, they just moved from Justin, Texas to Kansas City for a new job to teach, which he won't be able to do for a while. Fortunately, he was not teaching this semester anyway, but will not be able to teach in the next semester in March, but will be able to in May. Also, prayers for Janice, his wife, and his sons. Tim Ice and David and Daniel. So please be in prayer for the entire family, and be in prayer, and I'll give you an update on the operation. Now, Leslie's not here. Pat, do you see through that she'll get about Tommy Ice and the surgery and all tomorrow? So please be in prayer. Any other prayer requests? Yes.
For a prayer for a friend of mine. His name is David.
David
grew up in the Baptist community in Florida.
Amen.
But in the past 6 years that I knew him, he kept telling me that he does not believe a word of it. So, and then now, a few months back, he got diagnosed with a stage 3 pancreatic cancer. He's very down now, and my friend Lisa and I are praying for him, and I would like to ask you guys to additionally pray for him too, for his salvation before it's too late.
I'm going to pray that God the Holy Spirit will start convicting him and not let go. Just keep eating away, antagonizing, punching, and biting, and just not let him alone. Bless his heart. Did he ever believe it?
Is upset, or is it something upset him, obviously, you know. Because
well, that happens to a lot of people, but I just wonder if he did believe it at one time. Hopefully he did, but we'll just see. It's, as we saw last week, several young people committing suicide. It's tough being a young person today. Being a millennial today is just not any fun. And my generation, we just worried about hubcaps and wild, loud pipes in our cars. And if our parents wouldn't do it, we hammered a nail and hole in the pipe, in the exhaust pipe in the back. Ooh, ooh, what's happening to my car? I don't know. And so, but today there's just so much that, and all of this fits part of the plan of God. Just for an example, take the communication prophecy. I mean, in a phone, you can ask Google all kinds of questions. It's that ready. It's just amazing. And do they allow y'all to take phones into test? No, okay. See, got it, but they're not going to let me use it. And so, my goodness. All right, be in prayer for David, and be in prayer for Kobe. In prayer, yes.
I was just going to give an update on my dad.
Please, so, Johnny.
Yes, they're just going to sit and watch the tumors because there's one's at a 1 centimeter and the other one's at a 1.1, so they're really small. So the radiation can continue to shrink those. So we're just going to watch it for 3 months and then go back in and give him a scan. And see
good.
That's for the livers.
We'll be in prayer. How's Johnny doing?
He's fine. He feels good.
Good attitude?
Yes.
Good. Very good. Any other prayer requests? Anything? Okay. The Word of God declares whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, that we can carry on the mission of Spring Valley Bible Church. People, I'm going to assume you're consistently coming because you're learning and you like what you're learning. Maybe somebody else would like what you're learning. I know this isn't a church building. I know we don't have a bowling alley. I know we don't have a great parking lot. But if it's good enough for you, it may be good enough for someone you know that wants to know the truth about the Word of God. So it's our privilege to tell others. You never know what they might be looking for also. Then we have wonderful outreach. We have missionary outreach. We have in Afghanistan, Mexico, Philippines. And we just need to continue these supports. Young people, internet, and right here in our own community. So with these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this humble assembly. We're thankful for the room where we meet. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, that we have somewhere we can come together. It's our own little home. We can leave things set up, study your word, worship you, fellowship with other believers. And Father, we just pray you'll continue to use this humble assembly in 2018. In whatever way you see fit, whatever ways you see fit, and we'll be ready to take it. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.
About is Judith had this operation, had her arm removed, whatever it was, she had an operation. And they said, well, it may affect her voice, but we've rehearsed and she's singing well. So I'm very happy that she's singing again. Even though she has to sing with me. And if
I was so happy to hear that. In late November, two or three different doctors agreed Judith had to have her thyroid removed. Now, a few years of studying, I went, no, that's too vital. But they agreed, and it was cancerous, and so they taken it out. And then came the great issue, would it tap into her vocal cords, because it's right in that area where they cut. And she had the surgery at Baylor Hospital downtown, and a lady came in when we were checking in, and she had had one, how many years ago? 10 or 15 years ago, and she went, and she said, and I can sing now, and better than that. And so she said, don't worry, and said it took a while for me to get my voice back, but in a very short time, I think Judith's done a wonderful job, just wonderful hearing her sing it at the house and stuff like that, so that was very beautiful. Thank you very much. Okay, anyone not have today's handout? It starts with, it is not our task. Anyone not have it? Everyone have a copy? Draw your attention to the quote. You don't have one?
No.
Okay. All right. It is not our task to preach what people wish to hear, but what one day, in some sad future, they will wish they had heard. That was said by Sir Lancelot Andrews. Now, if you read, you'll read, he was an English bishop, scholar, the Church of England, with Queen Elizabeth I, who was a Protestant reformer, and James I, and Sir Lancelot Andrews oversaw the writing of the King James Bible. So that gives him some kind of qualified credentials. But I love that quote, and we'll see it occasionally in our class here. Okay, now let's get to work. Been a few moments in prayer. Purpose of the prayer, to trust the Holy Spirit. He's a teacher. We're dealing with the judgment seat of Christ. It's very important. Every one of us will stand at the judgment seat of Christ alone. You will stand there. And you will be evaluated. Your life will be evaluated by Jesus Christ himself with you standing there looking at him. And the evaluation is not sin. That's taken care of on the cross. The evaluation is what you did in the power of the Holy Spirit, opposing what you did in the power of the flesh. If you did it in the power of the flesh, bad. Did it in the power of the Holy Spirit, good. And he knows. He knows. You can fake man out, fool man, but you can't fool God. So right now we're looking at a very important passage to me. It's the gold, silver, and precious stones passage in 1 Corinthians 3 that so many people have confused. A lot of people think this is rewards given. No, this is the works of a believer that will be burned, and the gold, silver, and precious. No, if you stay in the context, very important principle in hermeneutics, study of Scripture, context. And we're looking at the context of this, and we'll close this morning with noting your part in all of this. So let's take a look now in our study. Verses 10 through 15, the builders, pastor teachers throughout church age. Verses 16 and 17, the temple, believers throughout the church age. So you are what the pastor teacher is building. What's going on in your soul and in your life. But it's very important to you to pay attention of what you're being fed. Now, 16 and 17, the temple of believers. But let's start in verse 10, which we've already studied. But let's work up to where we left off. Verse 10. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, Paul as an apostle, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another every pastor teacher throughout church age is building on it. But each man, each pastor teacher, must be careful how he builds on it. That is, what he teaches. For no man, no pastor teacher, and I point that out because I want you to understand the man here is referring to the pastor teacher, not just the believers. For no man, pastor teacher, can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Not the church, not mankind, but Jesus Christ is above all things. We saw in our early class this morning, we saw a verse where he is first to God, that he might be first in all things. That is first in your life. You have to make up your mind, people, because there'll be tests in all of our lives eventually. It may be husband, wife, mothers, parents, children, friends, money, place, testing. Is Jesus Christ first in your life or not? And one of the most interesting things in the study, every morning, one of my habits, I like to read Christian church history. And inevitably, every morning, sometime and somewhere in church history, people are martyred. They stood their stand for Christ at the sake of their life. Their husbands, their wives begged them, renounce Christ for a while. You don't have to do it really, but just before the authorities. Can't do that. He's my Savior. He's my friend. And they are martyrs. So you have to make up your mind, is Christ first or not? So this is what this passage is dealing with. Now let's resume at verse 12. Now, if any man, any pastor teacher, builds on the foundation with gold, silver, solid building metals, precious stones suitable for building or ornamentation, wood, hay, straw, six categories of biblical truth. Now, not referring to the effects of sound teaching, the gold, silver, precious stones, wood, and straw, does not refer to the effects of sound teaching, but the sound teaching itself. Gold, silver, precious stones are solid building material, while wood, hay, and straw are weak materials, but they cannot withstand the storms of life. The challenges. Is Christ important to you or not? Is a challenge. If you have wood, hay, and straw, you don't have any strong material. Now, I want you to understand, I think I've got it in here. Wood, hay, and straw is not heretical teaching. It is not false teaching. It's just teaching that's weak, that will not support the believer in the storms of life. Now, here is the grace of God and grace of Jesus Christ. Sins are not mentioned at the judgment seat of Christ. But note here that all the false doctrine, the doctrines that appear in the flesh, they're not mentioned either. They're not talking about these. Some pastors do a little study and teach with wood, hay, and straw. Many build on with materials that's not founded in the Word of God at all. Take it from Colossians chapter 2, philosophy, empty deception, traditions of man, elementary principles of the world, other than according to Christ. And that's what a lot of pastors use. Not even wood, hay, and straw. Things like social gospel, false gospel. That's not included in the wood, hay, and straw. See? God wants you to be the rich gospel. The social gospel, God wants you to be rich gospel. That's one of the reasons Joel Osteen is so successful. He tells God wants every one of you to be rich, and you'll be rich if you give me money. So this is the type of thing that a lot of them do. Salvation by works, and your life by works. These are not included in the wood, hay, and straw. But, of course, all this will be burned. All the false teaching will also be burned. Verse 13. Each man, that's pastor teacher's work, building, teaching, will become evident. All right, here it is. For the day, judgment seat of Christ. As from 1 Corinthians 4-5, Philippians 1-6, 1 Thessalonians 4-16-5, too. We'll show it. Because it, the building material, is to be revealed with fire. Become visible. If it burns up, that's what he's been using. If it endures the fire, he was using gold and silver and precious stones. And the fire itself, at the judgment seat of Christ, will test the quality of each man, each pastor, teacher's work. Now, what he built with? His teaching and his church. Many pastors will hide behind wood, hay, and straw. Make everybody feel good throughout their entire lives. Behind flesh motivation instead of spirit-led, but the judgment seat of Christ will make everything visible to everyone. What is interesting here is the expression will become evident. The implication is that it may not be evident now during their life to the world. The world judges by what it sees, hears, and feels. God goes much deeper. God looks at the building material. One man's work may look great to the world, notable, moral to the world. But to God, he sees the real material that a pastor teacher uses to teach from. Verse 14, if any man, pastor teacher, work which he has built on it, the foundation of Jesus Christ, remains. All right? We can look at it like a big Texas A&M bonfire. They don't have them anymore. If you haven't been in the old days to a true Aggie bonfire, you've really missed the enjoyment of life. It is quite a thing to see in the gym. It is really something. And you saw it, didn't you, Mark? Yeah. And now they don't do it anymore. But it is really something to see. Well, at the judgment seat of Christ, here we are, we're going to be in heaven. And we're going to be the big bonfire. Big bonfire. And God, pastor's going to walk over, and Christ's going to take, as it were, his entire life work teaching and throw it into the fire. Boom! The wood, hay, and straw, and the false teaching to burn up. And out falls a little gold, a little silver, some precious stones. See? It's going to be one heck of a bonfire. Yes?
This is the pastor that's standing in the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes.
So the pastor is being judged for
the gold, silver, and precious stones. That's right. The point I'm trying to make.
So the believer, even if they have wood, hay, and stubble, straw, they can still use that through the power of the Spirit and receive rewards for that, even though it's not going to be as powerful as the gold,
yes,
silver, precious stones.
Yes, and the point is, though, that when they really need it in their life, for an example, good example from our study on Wednesday night and early Sunday morning, when it comes time to make that stand for Christ, the wood, hay, and straw is not going to make that stand. It'll choose the way of man rather than to stand firm with the Lord. The reason wood, hay, and straw is referred to, wood a little stronger than hay, hay a little stronger than straw. None of them can withstand fire. So if a pastor has been teaching with wood, hay, and straw, people don't have much of a foundation, much to build on their foundation to make that stand for Christ. Okay. So, God looks much deeper. He looks at the building material. He sees the real issue. If any man, pastor, teacher's work, which he has built on it, the foundation of Christ, remains after the fire, through the fire, he will receive a reward at the judgment seat of Christ. Obviously, the wood, hay, and straw will be consumed quickly, while the wood, hay, and straw will endure just as they will cause you, the believer, to endure tribulations in life, notwithstanding the heavy stuff. When things really happen in your life, marriage failure, financial failure, health failure, just life, you look at life and where you are, these kind of things. In life. Yes?
What you said kind of remind me of Eve, that let's say the pastor gives the false teaching, and then it's just like Eve listening to the snake, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then being deceived. So in that case, that there's us, that people who actually have been deceived, are they actually in sin? Because they don't walk in the Spirit because they don't know it.
Okay, this was a question we dealt with a couple of weeks ago. If it's not a faith, it's sin. But that's not the sin that is talked about that is not talked about at the judgment seat of Christ. If a person lives their life, let's say I have faith and it's in the wood, hay, and straw. The faith is there, like he was saying. They have faith in the Holy Spirit. They can use the wood, hay, and straw. It just won't carry them very far. And go back to the first part of 1 Corinthians 3. He talked about milk and solid food. Milk isn't going to carry you very far. It's going to carry you very far. A good T-bone steak, 2 or 3 inches thick, that'll carry you. Carry you to bed so you can take a nap after you eat it. No. But it'll carry your body. So that's the whole issue that we're dealing with here. What is going to carry us through life? Secondly, what's going to glorify Christ? Wood, hay, and straw doesn't really going to glorify Christ. But you put on the foundation of Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, that will glorify Christ. And that's what will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Now.
Oh, wait a second here. So you get to the judgment seat of Christ. You've listened to Mr. Feelgood, our buddy Joel. Okay? You've done 30 years gig at his church. You're standing in front of JC. How's he going to rate you?
You're probably going to have it all burned up. Here's the point. This is just the pastor's. That's having this judgment of fire. Now, in a principle, it'll apply to believers. But right now, it'll be, in this case, a pastor.
But you're not going to get on the down elevator because you're just stupid.
No, that's what he said in the previous verse. He said he will lose reward, but not salvation. He is saved. The pastor is saved. But as far as rewards, he will lose rewards. That's coming up. It's coming up in a little bit. But he himself will endure.
But Herman, aren't you saying that a pastor has, because they have so much more responsibility, because they are teaching, so you have more to answer for in the kingdom?
Yeah. All right. The pastor's, his valuation is going to be what he built on, what he taught on. A believer is going to be, did they take it, believe it, and live it in the power of the Holy Spirit? Witness for Christ, glorified Christ, made their stand for Christ. That's going to be their judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. We've dealt with that. Now I'm just taking this passage because it's always included in the reward study and often wrongfully. I want to be sure you have a correct understanding of the gold, silver, precious stones and who's at the judgment seat here.
So just for clarity. The pastor stands before the judgment seat of Christ and is evaluated for wood, hay, and stubble, straw.
Yeah, it's material.
I keep saying that. If he teaches false doctrines, that's a whole different, that's just all burned up. That's
all burned up, all burned up, immediately.
He's only going to be evaluated for the gold, silver, precious stones.
Yes.
The believer, if all they studied was wood, hay, and straw, but they use what they did get out of that for the glorification of Christ, even though it's little. They're going to get rewarded for the little.
For the little they use.
It's not that all of that they got from the wood, hay,
no.
and straw is burned up
no.
for them,
no.
for us.
No.
That's your evaluation.
That's
not
the pastor's evaluation, not yours.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
The pastor can wind up with a broom on the outer edge sweeping, and a believer can be standing there and have a very limited view of the doctrines of the Word of God.
Absolutely.
And Jesus Christ is going to go, you're going. You're okay. Here come the rewards for you.
Or here comes, you lose everything. Would you help this other guy carry his rewards? That type of thing.
There is a penalty phase for you guys.
Yeah. That's where it'll come up. Loss reward.
You have a huge responsibility answering to God for what
he used to teach. Yeah. Yeah. I think Wednesday night, somebody can say yes or no. I told the story of Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle came to our church, and that's a funny story why he came, but he came to our church and for about 6 months, and I was at Preston Trails one day, and he said, I need to talk to you, preacher. And I said, okay. And so we went over and sat down and talked, just he and I. And he said, first of all, I want to thank you for my salvation. I know I'm saved now, and I believe in Jesus Christ, and I have eternal life. That was right out of his mouth. And he said, the problem is, Herman, I can't make Christ my life. And if I stay at your church, I'm going to have to do that. And I can't do that. And he said, thank you for all that I've learned, and I'm glad. He said, and coming off what you just said, he said, I guess I'll just have to be a dog catcher in heaven. And that's the deal. Some will make it a commitment, some will not. Okay. Fine. That's what this is about.
Ben had a good question. There's an evangelist, and there's a pastor.
Yes.
Two different spiritual
yes.
gifts.
Yes.
So if somebody is running around as an evangelist and that's their spiritual gift and they are converting the lights out of people,
yep.
or lights into people, that they will be evaluated for their spiritual gift of evangelism.
Yes, exactly.
Whether they ever teach any additional meat.
No. They're just their gift.
Their gift is
evangelism.
A pastor teaches
how they did it.
Different spiritual gift.
He's different. That's why there's a chapter devoted to him, the chapter we're studying.
Okay.
He is evaluated on his own. Yes?
I just want to clarify what Bart said, that at the judgment seat of Christ, there is no down elevation.
Very good. Very good.
Some of the social gospel guys have sure taken off a bunch of people. And you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, if they're at the judgment seat of Christ, they're believers.
Right.
So they're in.
They've made it.
They've made it.
But the point being that we've seen so many tens of thousands wind up in the mega churches where it's more entertainment than it is anything else.
And I'm going to talk about the believers, your responsibility. It's my responsibility what I teach. It's your responsibility what you're fed. If you go and support a pastor teaching wood, hay, and straw or false doctrine, that's your responsibility.
Okay.
You should demand gold, silver, and precious stones. Demand it. I'm not going to support otherwise. Why do these churches make it? Because they're supported.
Yes.
If they're not supported, they won't make it. So that's the secret there.
Well, Herman, there's going to be a lot of believers up there at the judgment seat thinking that they're going to back up the semi for their reward.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Christ is at the end, so we're having a little spider ring.
Yeah.
But part of it, too, is they'll see the warehouse of all the rewards they could have.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the whole thing for all eternity. Rewards will exist for all eternity. We'll come to that.
No, but no guilt.
There is shame. We started off the study with shame in 1 John. There will be shame for a short time. And then that's why I dealt with the Revelation passage, which deals with no more sorrow, no more tears. That's between the judgment seat of Christ and Revelation 21 is the judgment seat of Christ, and that's where the shame will occur. But it'll be no more. No, it'll go away very quickly. Yes?
So, Herman, I think I hear you saying that this is like the gospel light or something, that they're giving truth, but it's like what they call like 3 points in a point.
Yeah.
They're just skimming along
yep.
the top.
Yep.
They're
yep.
not.
And that's all a lot of people want.
Verse by verse teaching
yeah.
and that kind of thing.
And they think they're getting a lot, and that's all they want. They don't want more. They don't want to be pressed to think.
Okay, I have a question because this has been in my mind for a while about the old...
Ask your husband. No, I'm just kidding. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
But the Old Testament believers didn't have the advantage we have of all of the...
They're not going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Just for church age believers.
So they're not held responsible. They get rewards according to... how they dealt with what they had.
Yes. Okay. Yes. That's a whole other ball game. Whole other system of rewards. Whole other issue. Okay. Now, what needs to be understood in this verse is the use of the word work. This is a central word to understand in the gospel and in the Christian life and in the pastor-teacher. The word is used in three primary ways. The word work is used in three primary ways, and it is so important to know the distinction of these words. The work of God, the work of the law, and dead works. Point two, no one is saved by works of the law, by obeying the law. The passages are given. Three, but for those who will see, by faith alone, is the only work acceptable to God. We studied this many times in John 6, 27 through 29. Note, this is the work of God. The only work acceptable to God. That's why it's the only work that will be classified as good at the judgment seat of Christ. Because it is the work of God. Four, work of Christ, Philippians 2:30. Five, work produced by faith, 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Now, 3:14, 1 Corinthians 3, our passage, he will receive a reward, not described here, but we know of some of these rewards. The crowns are given, the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, crown of exaltation, and 1 Peter 5, it seems as though the crown of glory is reserved for the pastor-teacher who builds with gold, silver, and precious stones. If you study the passage in Peter, that's what it seems to teach there. Now, for the pastor-teacher who has labored all his life but building with wood, hay, and straw, or false doctrine, if any man's, pastor verse, we're in verse 15, if any man's pastor-teacher's work is burned up, he will suffer loss of rewards, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. So he may live his whole life wasted. And people, there's a lot of Christians whose life are wasted. They're going to get nothing at the judgment seat of Christ. But I'm just sure this is true of pastors. Just because he got up every Sunday, as it were, and wailed out something, doesn't mean he did it as unto the Lord. And his whole life is wasted based upon the building material that he built upon. Question, does this mean that he can live an immoral life? No. That's going to be a whole other issue we'll take a look at. But right now, this chapter is dealing with his judgment based on the building material that he builds with. The pastor teacher who spent Sunday after Sunday, year in and year out, I love this, will not lose salvation. But they will stand there and watch their whole life go up in flames. Some pastors are looking forward to this day. Some fear this day. Most know nothing about this day. For them, during their life, ignorance is bliss. Okay. We learn one thing of importance in reference to eternity. There's no equality. You can drop that in eternity. There's no equality for all eternity. One, no one loses their salvation because of sin, a sinful life. Jesus Christ bore all the sins on the cross. Two, no one loses their salvation because works of the flesh. Many will spend their entire lives working in the flesh, but all that will be burned up. But they themselves will be saved forever, thanks to Jesus Christ. Three, once you believe in Jesus Christ, you simply cannot lose your salvation. Four, yet serving the Lord for the pastor teacher is vital to glorifying Christ in time and in eternity. Now we come to verses 16 and 17. We move from the builder, the pastor teacher, the materials he uses to build, to you, the temple. Believers throughout the church age, you're referred to as temple. Look at it, verse 16. Do you not know, and you know now because it's taught, that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? This is who you are. You're a temple of God, and God dwells in you. And where does this come from? Why did Paul word it this way? This is one of the most important verses in the New Testament about the believer. This is something you should remind yourself of. These two things throughout every week of your life, especially when you are really busy or under heavy temptation not to come to Bible study or to neglect who you are in Christ. Two things as to who you are. You are a temple of God, and secondly, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. But the key of this verse is to know. Do you not know? Not to know these things results in your life being a failure as far as eternity is concerned. A waste of time. That's just so horrible. Wasting your life. Do you know that you're a temple of God? Do you know what it means to be a temple of God? Do you know how you became a temple of God? Do you know that you cannot stop being a temple of God? Do you know that you are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit? Do you know why you're indwelt by God the Holy Spirit? Do you know what it means to be indwelt by God the Holy Spirit? And do you know that you cannot lose the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit? Do I know these things? If I don't, then I better start listening to someone who will teach me. If I do, it should start influencing my life and the decisions I make. How do we know things of the Bible? By being taught from those who study and teach the Word of God. These are the gold, silver, precious stones. It does not come to us naturally. It is supernatural. God, the Holy Spirit, must cause me to listen and learn from those who are sent of God to teach. Do you not know that you are a temple of God? Let's know how believers are referred to in just this one chapter. Not go anywhere else in the Bible, just this one chapter. Spiritual, verse 1. Flesh, verse 1. Infants in Christ, verse 1. Fleshly, verse 3. Like mere men. God's filled, cultivated land, verse 9. God's building, verse 9. A temple of God, verse 16. Holy, verse 17. This is who and what you are. Spiritual, are you an infant in Christ? Fleshly, are you God's cultivated land, God's building, a temple of God, holy. Each one of us, each one of these is important to you as to how you should think of yourself and take care of yourself accordingly. People, look how much time we all spend. And I look around and think everyone here probably spent a good amount of time maybe in front of a mirror. Now, maybe not Trey because he doesn't have much to comb up there. But most of us spend time in front of a mirror. That's not who you and I are. We're a temple of God, holy, to be cultivated field. That's who we are. Do you know that you are a temple of God? Paul has shifted from the builder to the ones who are being built upon. Now, I want you to note the progress of this passage. First, from the ones who plant, the ones who water, teach the word, and the believer grows spiritually, but it is God who causes the growth. Then in verse 9, he uses several metaphors. Pastors are God's fellow workers. Believers, cultivated land, building. Two different metaphors you are to think of yourself. Cultivated land, from which the fruit of the Spirit grows, and buildings. Then in verse 10 and following, Paul develops the building metaphor, where Paul is the master builder of the church. He laid the foundation, Jesus Christ. And all the pastor teachers through the church age are to build upon that foundation. And Paul mentions two categories of building material. First category, gold, silver, precious stones. Second category, wood, hay, and straw, where the gold, silver, and precious stones refers to solid Bible teaching. Gold, and this is dangerous to try to characterize what each of these are, but just to give you an idea, gold would be like doctrines pertaining to Jesus Christ, hypostatic union, wherein the person of Jesus Christ are two natures, inseparably united, without mixture or loss of separate identity, the union being personal and eternal. He is the God-man. Doctrine of kenosis. Jesus Christ gave up the appearance of deity, but not the essence of deity, and took upon himself the likeness of mankind. These are all important to the cross and what happened on the cross and why he's the Savior. The vital part of kenosis is that of his dependence by faith in his humanity of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The cross work of the Messiah, salvation, eternal security, eternal life. The doctrine of impeccability, which shows that Jesus Christ was faultless in his incarnation and committed neither sin nor wrong during his entire life, qualifying him to go to the cross in payment for the sins of the world. Virgin birth. Jesus Christ the shepherd. All three shepherds are talked about. The Lord and Savior and friend of all who believe throughout the church age. And a multitude of other teachings from the Bible concerning Jesus Christ. Also gold. Teaching is all about Trinity. The essence of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The silver would be things like your life in Christ, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, spiritual love, bearing fruit that glorifies God the Father. These are the things you'll be rewarded for in eternity at the judgment seat of Christ. Precious stones, those things that ornament your life, give your life structure. Spiritual warfare, knowing and understanding the Old Testament, prophecy, tribulation, second coming of Christ, millennium, and eternity future. Wood, hay, and straw, religious activity, healing, tongues, programs, feel-good messages. These are the kinds of things that will burn up. Then in verse 16, Paul moves to the believers throughout the church age. Pastors must think of themselves as waterers, fellow workers of God, builders, and must therefore be careful of what material they build upon or build with. Believers must see themselves as temples of God. And because you're a temple of God, God the Holy Spirit indwells you. Temple of God means that you are a temple belonging to God. It's a genitive of possession. Now, why did he come up with that? You're a temple, the God indwells you. Think about his audience. The word is naos. Just who Paul is speaking to in this letter. The Corinthians in Corinth. Corinth, at this time of Paul, was a big metropolis area with multitude of temples. Temple of Aphrodite had over 1,000 prostitutes at one time. Temple of Apollo. Temple of Poseidon, Temple of Acapius, Temple of Venus, Temple of Hercules, Temple of Hermes, and on and on and on, many more. These were all through the city, these temples. Now, you just walk down the main street, and there would be multitude of temples. And it was the same with nearly every city in the world at the time of Paul, especially the Roman world. So the Corinthians, now here's the point. We're well familiar with the heathen concept of temples. However, their ideal of a temple was not exactly like that of the Jews with the temple in Jerusalem. And this is no difference than in our society today. As Paul walked through Corinth and other major cities, he saw any number of temples. And he did not go out and try to destroy them. But his message, he taught to destroy their idolatry. So it is today. We have unbelievable growth in idolatrous temples right here in Dallas. Right down the street from me is a Muslim mosque. I often think how I just want to let a pig go in there. Just open the door and let a pig. I want to drive by and drop off some of those pork rinds and packages of those. But that's not my job. And I got to quickly get back into the spirit. Okay. I know I can't do it. See? That's not my job. My job is here. Then there is the Mormon temples. Sykes, the temples of India are coming up in Dallas area. More and more temples, mosques, churches, meeting places are springing up, reminding us we live in a dark continent once again. The temple here in 1 Corinthians 3, Naos, means to dwell, a dwelling, and in their thinking, in their temples, now here's the point, would be a statue of a god or goddess. And most of the time, these were big fraternity sorority party buildings. And I mean some wild parties. All under the supposed worship of that god or goddess. Now Paul comes along and turns all of this on them. You are a temple. Wow, wait a minute. And then he said something really dramatic. And in you is God. In you indwells God the Holy Spirit. So they know, okay, there's the temple of Apollo. And there's the big statue of Apollo inside. And they're going to worship him. He's saying that I am a temple, and inside of me is the true God. People, this is unbelievable to them. This is remarkable to them. Maybe not so remarkable to us, but it was to them. They had to change their whole way of thinking now. They are a temple. God is in them. This is unbelievable. So he says, you are a temple. You are God's temple. Wait. A temple is where we go to worship a god or goddess. And now I am the temple. Yes. And inside of you dwells the true God. God the Holy Spirit. Verse 17. If any man destroys the temple of God, any man, it's a pastor teacher, destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy. And that is what you are. So, verse 17 is really important. If any pastor destroys the temple of God, you're the temple of God, the people, God will destroy him, that pastor. For the temple of God, you the believer, is holy. And that's what you are. This verse has a variety of interpretations. Excuse me. Once again, we come to the three fundamental principles of interpretation. Context, context, context. We first have to decide who is the any man. Two, what does it mean to destroy? Three, how does any man destroy? What does it mean that God will destroy him? We have to answer these questions. Who is the any man? Context. At first reading, most people take any man as believers, dealing with his own temple. But if we look at the context, what is being discussed? What is being discussed is the pastor teacher building on the foundation. Verses 10, 11, and 12, then Paul takes two categories of building material, gold, silver, precious stones, wood and straw, where you will recall wood and straw are built on the foundation of Jesus. They're not bad. They're not contrary to truth. They're just not hold up under testings in life at the judgment seat of Christ. But here's the frightful part. What about the man who builds with no biblical truth? He is not even using wood and straw. He is using man-centered material, human wisdom, called in Colossians 2, philosophies of man, promotion of self, not using the word of God. Yes?
Meaning or implication, gold and silver are much more rare than wood and straw. When you went through seminary, do they talk to you as pastors to say, hey, you've got to stick with the more rare teaching? Because many of you are going to go out and you're going to want the big church, right? That's appealing.
Some professors did. Most professors did not. In Hebrew, I had two or three of the best professors going. In Greek, I had one or two of the best professors there. In theology, I had a pretty good one that emphasized these kinds of things. Most of the other classes, it was just, you're going to be a preacher.
But not what kind of preacher.
Not what kind of preacher. Okay. Do what?
There's credits, but those are at the judgment seat of Christ.
Do what?
So in my profession, and the many, right, there you have to do continuing education credits. You have to get recertified because there's new material,
yeah,
or you're reinforcing in testing that you knew. Is there any, besides, well, you choose to go to conferences, but that's not required, is it?
No, there's no follow-up afterward by some organization.
Only if your church requires it.
Well, only if your church requires it. But even then, it'd be hard for him. Where are you going to send them, and who do you trust to do that kind of thing? And the real test of a pastor is Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. If he teaches other nights of the week, those, that's his real test. Are you getting gold, silver, precious stones every class, or are you not? Okay. But, and here's the prideful part, what if the man builds on no biblical truth at all? He is not using even the wood and straw. What happens to him? This is what Paul now dealing with. Let's say, go back to 3:17 and see how this fits together. If any man destroys the temple of God, one of the great hindrances to a believer growing spiritually and fulfilling the very purpose for which you were saved and left here on earth, the main hindrance starts with the pastor teacher, teaching lies and false doctrines. This pastor teacher does not even use wood and straw. If, and yes, Paul uses the first class condition, it's true, because there will always be pastors who will destroy the flocks of God. Any man, who's Paul referring to here? This pronoun is referring to a specific category or group of people. All pastor teachers in context, 12, 13, 14, 15, 17. He's referring to the pastor teacher. If any man, the temple, if any man, pastor teacher, the temple of God destroys. Destroy this man, God, the temple. Okay, to what does this refer, destroying? End of the verse. What you are, a temple of God, destroys. Now, let's take a look. Present active indicative of the verb used twice right here next to each other. The word to translate it, destroy. The King James uses two different words. Man defiles, God destroys. The NIV and the NASV translate them using the same words, destroys. The word is phthiro, as a variety of concepts. To destroy, now pay attention, to ruin, to corrupt, to spoil, to degenerate, to render inoperative. And that's the one we're going to key in on. To render inoperative. In this sense, to destroy, you haven't taken away its existence. You've rendered inoperative its function. If I poke a hole in the bottom of the glass, I've not destroyed the glass. It's still there. I've rendered it inoperative as a glass. Because all my iced tea will flow out. That is iced tea. All my iced tea will flow out, see? So I've rendered it inoperative. So if a pastor teacher teaches lies and does not teach the truth, he renders inoperative his believers in his congregation in the angelic conflict throughout their life. He renders them there. So that's what's going on. So we're going to stay with the word and the ideal of inoperative. The word mean always has a negative result. Therefore, in definition, it always is associated with its result, destroy, corrupt, render inoperative. Present, durative. What happens over a period of time by continually teaching false doctrine? Active voice. Every pastor teacher is responsible for deciding himself what he will use to teach, to preach, to lead the assembly of God has put under his charge. If any man, pastor teacher, renders inoperative, corrupting the original design or condition, the temple belonging to God. Do you understand what's happening? He is rendering inoperative his congregation by not giving them any truth. One, the verb is referring to believers, temples of God. Two, the verse is speaking of the responsibility of the pastor teacher. Three, usually we think of the believer as sheep. But here the assembly is made up of a group of temples, and it is the pastor teacher's function to build on that temple so that it fulfills God's design for the temple to reflect the glory of Christ. That's your purpose. You're rendered inoperative Meaning, you're still a temple, but you do not reflect the glory of the God who's in you, the God who saved you. So you're inoperative because of the pastor. That's why, people, it is so important who you choose to listen to in the teaching of the Word of God. This is not a light decision. For the pastor teacher may use gold, silver, precious stones, or he may use wood and straw. But many do not even use neither of these. They use the material of which is evil before God, and not only will not add to the function of the temple, but actually destroy its design, rendering it inoperative. Now, what happens to such a pastor? We know those who build with gold and silver and precious stones will receive rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. We know that those who build with wood, hay, and stuff, a straw, will have all that burned up. But note what God says about what happens to the pastor. Will destroy this man, God. God will destroy this pastor. The Greek word adds a force of placing the verb next to each other. The two verbs of destroy are next to each other in the Greek. If any man the temple of God destroys, will destroy this man, render it operative, God. That's what will happen to him. He, the pastor teacher, renders the inoperative believer the temple. So God renders this pastor inoperative. One, this is a stern warning to every man with the gift of pastor teacher not to tamper with God's temple, not to replace the Word of God with traditions of man or something that he's come up with. Two, this is a warning that every pastor teacher must build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ with biblical truth, sound doctrine. People, you can study the history of the Mormons and people like this. All these their founders did built on themselves, not on Christ. It wasn't about Christ. It was about them. Or he will destroy the believer, temple of God. How will this happen? Let me give you a silly example, and I recognize it's silly. You bring a car into a shop, and he puts water into the gas tank. Some put high octane into the gas tank, gold, silver, precious stones. Some put low octane, wood, hay, and straw. But this guy puts water, having the effect of causing the car to be inoperative. It's still sitting there. It's still a fine working automobile. Or not working, but a fine looking automobile. Inoperative. You can't do anything with it. Maybe put some pot plants in it and grow them in it. That's about it. Okay? So God comes in and renders inoperative this mechanic. Three, what this verse does not teach. One, this does not teach that God destroys the pastor so as to take away his salvation. This is why the same word is used by Paul of the believer and of the pastor. This verse is not teaching that a believer, the temple of God, is destroyed so as to lose salvation. Neither does this foolish pastor lose his salvation. Whatever you say in this verse, in reference to the believer as a temple of God, this is the same principle for the pastor teacher and vice versa. Two, this verse does not teach that the pastor loses the spiritual gift given to him by God, any more than a believer loses being a temple of God. I point this out, these two things out, because so many Christians develop a sloppy theology about God. A pastor loses his salvation, or God takes away his spiritual gift. And just because a believer does not grow, regardless of whose fault it is, God does not take away that believer as being a temple with God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling, nor does he take away the spiritual gift. Three, note that it is God who will deal with this charlatan preacher. It is God who will render him inoperative or useless, not you. This is not your job. God is more capable. You simply move on to where you will get some gold, silver, and precious stones and building material for your life and soul. How a pastor renders a believer useless, inoperative? By making the ministry of the Holy Spirit inoperative. See, people, if I do not teach you correctly how to be filled with the Spirit. And I give you some works program, like forgiveness or repentance or confession or yielding. And you try that, it isn't going to cause you to be filled with the Spirit. I've rendered you inoperative. You are inoperative as to the Holy Spirit. But if I teach you how to be operative in the Holy Spirit, simply by faith, you're saved by faith, you live by faith. Colossians 2:6. So now you are operative and allow the Holy Spirit to be operative in your life. So it is very important how the pastor teaches. You're filled with the Spirit, tap into the Spirit, become operative. Allow the Holy Spirit to be operative in you so that you become operative in life, glorifying Jesus Christ, your Savior, your friend. Your body is a temple because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Never forget when I was in my first car, my grandfather taught me three simple principles. I'll never forget it. He just taught me gas, oil, and water. Now, all three are analogous to the Holy Spirit. But he just taught me, be sure it has gas in it before you go to bed at night. Don't let the oil run out. And water, back then you had to put water in the battery and water in the radiator. Some of you don't know what that means. But you had to do that. Those are important places for water back then. And I'll never forget it. And it was very wise. If the pastor teacher does not teach truth concerning the Holy Spirit, like how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it will render the temple inoperative. That is, it will render the believer inoperative, ineffectual in spiritual warfare and throughout his life. Principle. If you do not know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you will sin. And sin defiles the temple. But by teaching truth, by not teaching the Word of God, sound doctrine, by not teaching the Holy Spirit, truth on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how to tap into the leading, His teaching, His guiding, His fruit. If the Holy Spirit indwells you as inoperative, then people, you're inoperative. If you're the car, for example, and you put water in the gasoline, you are inoperative as the automobile because it doesn't run on water. It runs on gas. So your spiritual life runs on the Holy Spirit. If you don't tap into Him, you're not going to be operative. Listen. Most preachers do not even teach or preach on the Holy Spirit. Therefore, they render their assembly, the temples, inoperative. On the other hand, many do preach about the Holy Spirit, only it's not truth. It's lies and half-truths, speaking in tongues, charismatic experiences, rolling on the floor, all this type of thing. Many pastors talk about the Holy Spirit, talk about the fruit of the Spirit, may even talk about the teaching of the Holy Spirit, but not how to tap into His ministry by faith alone, as we are saved. Now, they may use the Bible, but they distort it, twist it, turn it into saying exactly what it doesn't say, and what making it say something that is not meant to say, a legalistic life, or even lawlessness. Yet they hold the Bible up. Or they may not use the Bible at all, but go to human wisdom, being politically correct, or what is popular, what will draw in the crowds. If any man, pastor, teacher, the temple of God, believers, under His authority, renders inoperative, ineffective in the angelic conflict, by not teaching the truth of the Word of God, God will render inoperative this man, the pastor, teacher. Closing principles. God considers the responsibility of the pastor, teacher, very seriously. God sent His Son to save. God sent His Spirit to take care of every believer. God sends the pastor teacher to teach the flock the truth of His Word. So you better take very seriously just who you listen to in the teaching of your soul. Why does God pronounce a special divine discipline on the pastor teacher who teaches, practices false doctrines, or no doctrine at all? For the temple of God is holy, and that's what you are. That's why God takes it serious, because He takes you seriously. Four, use of the explanatory particle, telling why something. The temple, every born-again believer, you, is in Christ Jesus. And God the Holy Spirit is in them, making every one of them a temple belonging to God. is. Do not miss this verb, for this is what you are before God. You may not see yourself as a temple of God, but let me assure you, this is the way God sees you. And if that is not enough to get your attention, you are holy. The word holy, the Greek word, sacred, set apart. Every one of us are holy. Why? Why are we holy? Because of the foundation, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is holy. You are in Jesus Christ. As we studied this morning in the 9:15 class, you're in Jesus Christ. And by being in Christ, you are holy. This has nothing to do with your sins or your life. This is the grace of God. The temple of God is holy. You may be living a sinful life, but before God, you are holy. And that's what you are. Dogmatic declaration from God. When God looks at you, He sees you as a temple belonging to Him. He sees you as holy. Therefore, it is only reasonable that we would live our lives for Christ. We would present to Him a dwelling place that is holy. That is what you are. Or that is what you keep on being, to get the present tense in. What is a tragedy? That a holy temple, one in Christ, is useless, inoperative in the angelic conflict. And this because of the failure of the pastor teacher. You're a beautiful Lamborghini sitting in a driveway, and that's all you do, sit there. You don't even get to go back and forth up and down the drive. You're just a beautiful, wonderful looking car, temple, inoperative. Many Christians care so much more about moral presentation of their pastor, which is very important, than they do about what he teaches, which is even more important. A beautiful, expensive car sitting in the drive. Why? Because you put sugar in the gas tank. It shuts the car down, rendering it inoperative. Sweet sugar messages, not the truth. And this is what a lot of people are allowing to happen to them. Allowing some pastor to pour sugar-coated lies into their souls, rendering them inoperative in the spiritual warfare. You have to see who and what you are in God's eyes. And people, I could spend a long time. We're running out of time. I know that. But think about it. This is the most horrible thing that could happen to a soldier. Inoperative in the battle. Just got wounded. Your leg shot off. I went back in. You can't go back in. I went back in. Just give me a rifle. Put me up on a hill. Let me shoot. That's the attitude of a soldier. I don't want to be inoperative. They hate that. That's the worst thing that can be done. To be inoperative in the war. In a battle. And here Christians are rendering themselves inoperative by who they listen to. You don't want to be inoperative in this battle, people. You're in a battle. No, you don't see it. But you're in a wonderful, important, vital battle. Every one of us. And you got to fight. You don't want to just be inoperative, sit on the sideline. I want to play. I like my illustration of a little boy on a football team. I want to play, coach. You get it out there, you could get hurt. You could actually break your neck and die. I don't care. I want out there. I want in the game. The coach calls your name. You put on your helmet. You go out there and you get hit. And you go, wow, that felt good. I'm in the game. I'm in the play. I'm in the battle. That's where I want to be. That's where we want to be as Christians. And this is what a lot of people are allowing to happen to them. Sugar-coated lies into their souls. I know Christians who care more about the education of their children are getting than about they're getting spiritually. Make sure this school has the best teacher. Then on Sundays, take these same wonderful children that they love to some preacher who gives them sugar-coated poison for their souls instead of solid biblical material to grow on. We will, each and every one of us, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Are you preparing for that day? Let's close in a word of prayer. Our foundation is Christ. Our life is Christ, Father. It is for him that we want to live. Pray that your Spirit will use the things we've seen this morning for the honor and glory of Christ. And Father, I cannot close without bringing up to you the people we prayed for. David, Colby, Anel, everyone that we've prayed for. Tommy Ice, these people are important to us and to the team. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the warnings that we have in it. I pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.